Quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Deal. Gets open for three. Dagger!
Here comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three. Pierce with two. Pierce all the way at the horn. It's good!
Morris, Ball, Neal, and Gortat. Porter can't find anybody. He gives it to Wall. Morgan gets Bradley for three. John Wall! What a shot!
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Locked On Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. I'm your host, Becca Winker, also known as @BeccaMVP on Twitter. And I am with my new host, Quentin Mayo, not Mayo.
There you go.
Oh
my gosh. You were so close.
I was so close. T_QM_
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
See, it's easy.
It's the original Quentin Mayo, not Mayo. Mayo.
You're in preseason form right now. I got to get you in regular season form.
Well, I know that there's a ton of Wizards basketball players that are not in preseason form. They're in fight mode, but we will get to that later.
And it's funny because we were just talking about him last podcast, and he does this. But, you know, he'll remain nameless until it's his time to be discussed.
Oh, we all know exactly who it is. But we're taking you back to yesterday's preseason game. Wizards played the New York Knicks, and without Porzingis and Noah, and we did not have Dwight Howard because he has a sore back from traveling. And for all you Ravens fans out there, RG3 was present, so I don't know how much that means. Maybe former he's a former Redskin, so maybe some of you Redskins fans are still feeling RG3.
I miss RG3, man. I miss him so much.
I liked him.
He's a great guy. Like, if by chance he ever wants to come back and back up Alex Smith, by all means, buddy, you're welcome in DC anytime.
You heard it first here, RG3. You are welcome back. Something that stuck with me from this game was Trey Burke's name, and only because he was with the Wizards for a while, and he wasn't the most productive, but then he went to New York and became somebody, dropping, you know, 40-something points per game, one game, you know, no big deal. So I was happy to see how he would play against us. So
Trey Burke is just like, oh, he's such a – it's Trey left and, like, found himself. Like, with us, he was Oh, he didn't have any playmaking ability. He could shoot, but he was inconsistent. And then he went to New York and just, he's in a big city. He loves the crowd. He goes there and they're like, oh my gosh, the savior. We love Trey Burke, and he's down there balling out. And he looks pretty good. I like the braids. Him and John Wall rocking the braids, but Trey kind of had him first. But still, I like Trey Burke. He was really good last night.
You know, Trey Burke kind of reminds me of a bad boyfriend. Like, you have hear me out on this one.
Okay.
You have a bad boyfriend and you try to make him better, but obviously you can't change him because you can't change people. So you guys break up and then he moves on and he becomes better, not for you, but for another team.
Wow.
So I feel this is some deep intellectual, like,
very deep
analogy I'm giving you right here. So
Does that mean that he only changed for New York because he actually liked New York more than Washington?
No, I just think I think Washington maybe made him better because John Wall was there to teach him some stuff, and then he was out on his own and was like, okay, I'm ready to show New York what I'm all about. So Okay. New York's his current girlfriend, I guess. And he's happy. So I think maybe I should gauge this podcast by asking you, how did you feel about last night's game? Like, what were your, like, thoughts, your final thoughts?
So my final thoughts, one, I love the aggressiveness of Otto Porter.
Yes.
Like, they challenged him all offseason. Every time he touches the ball to shoot it, he's the best shooter they have on the team. And literally every time the ball was kicked to Otto Porter, he shot it. He was aggressive. He drove. He pulled up from three, from mid-range, in between range. It was beautiful to see him finally have that aggression behind his offensive skill set, because he's a very skillful player. He's a long guy. It's hard to defend his shot. He has high arc on his jump shot. And he has a pretty physical build, too, along with that great three-point stroke. So it was good to see him aggressive. And other than Otto, my other two takeaways probably come from the players that had more extended time on the court. I loved what I saw from Austin Rivers. I couldn't stop tweeting about him last night. And I know, I think he went, 3 for 7 from the field. I don't think the stat sheet really does his performance justice. He was excellent on the defensive end. He just looked like he had command of the offense when he was out there with Wall and Bill, or even out there with the second unit and the younger guys. So Austin Rivers is kind of like my second standout. And my third, I'm going to go with the Jan Mahimi three, just because, yes, I know how much you love Jan Mahimi and his three-point shooting ability. He stepped back for one. When he did the step back and I thought he made it, I was almost fell out of my chair. But he hit one. I think all DC family was going crazy when they saw it. But it was impressive to see him take that from practice and translate into a real preseason game.
Jan killed it. I just think that if he can knock, you know, at least one or two down, like, per game, we should be in good shape. He impressed me. His energy impressed me. Austin Rivers certainly impressed me. I agree with you there. I don't think that the final stats reflect his performance. He, like, his energy was just, like, incredible. In addition to Otto, I mean, the first quarter, he had 8 points on 3 for 4 shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on 2 3-pointers. So automatically, like, you know, automatically. He set the tone for his performance during the game. And I think that was pretty important. Yeah. And aside from that, like, what I was impressed with, of course, like, I'm a huge Jason Smith fan, so I'm always gonna, like, see the good in him. But, like, he was pretty tough. Like, there was some New York players that were not intimidated by his size. And when they wanted to drive into the paint, he was just like, nope, not doing that. And he stopped some people a couple times, so I'll give him that.
Yeah, Noah Vonleh was trying to play out of his mind last night when he saw Jason Smith
for the preseason.
On him. And I was like, bro, what are you doing, Noah? Like, we've never seen this side of you before. I had to go to Twitter, and I don't usually tweet that much during the game unless it really sticks out to me. And Noah Vonleh had a whole dribble package he had practiced just for Jason Smith. But Jason Smith drew the charge on him on the first time Noah tried to attack him. And I think Noah tried to dunk on him a couple possessions later, and he got stuffed at the rim. So Smith definitely held his own down there. So he was pretty impressive.
I couldn't believe what I saw from Jason when he got those blocks. I was like, is this really Jason? I mean, we know he's athletic, but to see him at his age and, like, just the whole thing was just, like, really strange. It was strange that, you know, he was the other team, you know, like, the guy was playing out of his mind. And, like, for no reason. It's the first preseason game. like take it back. I mean, to summarize, we're going to talk about the second quarter after we take a break. But to summarize the second quarter, they all were playing, both sides were playing aggressive, and just, like, they were all so angry, and it just, like, it was crazy to me.
Yeah.
And I think that needs a whole podcast segment in itself. Like, that's just not something that we could cover in, like, 2 minutes. Like, so.
Right.
We will take a quick break, and when we come back, we will discuss more of Wizards preseason versus the New York Knicks. And thank you for listening. See you in a bit. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network. I'm here with my co-host, Quentin Mayo, and we are here to kind of summarize our thoughts from the preseason game, which occurred yesterday versus the New York Knicks. And let's just get straight to the point. I mean, I don't want to name names, but Keith Morris, he's got that, that like Twitter like to call it, that mid-season energy.
Mid-season energy. In the preseason to a rookie. Markeith,
to a rookie, like, what are you doing? I mean, didn't we say that we were just going to stop talking and relax and, like, just take a step back a bit to finalize? I mean, the second quarter technical foul count, we got two from Keith from running his mouth to a rookie. Let's not forget a rookie. Mm-hmm. And he got ejected. Bradley Beal got a tech. I'm not entirely sure. I don't exactly remember why, but
it was the fast break he had. He believed he got fouled. He went up with the left hand, missed the layup, and then he popped off on the referee for not getting the foul. So he got that tech pretty quickly going into the commercial break.
You know, I gotta give Brad like a step. You know what? I gotta cut him some slack because I'm sure he probably spent, you know, 3 hours in the middle of the night with his newborn. You know, like he's got some
he's running on
new
fumes.
Things. Yes, yeah. He's running on fumes, and you know, Brad is kind of like the calming energy for me. Like I don't ever see him as like aggressive or angry. So for him to get like that during a preseason game, like that's pretty different.
And it was the headbands. Like they, all, I think Keith, yeah. Wall and Bill came out with headbands last night, and I think it's some attitude in those headbands. But Markeith obviously has not gotten the memo of let's just keep our mouths shut. He didn't get it at media day. He brought it to the first preseason game against the Knicks, against a rookie. So it's just something that after the game he said that, you know, he spoke with Coach Brooks and he realized that it wasn't acceptable what he did. But you just can't have that, especially him being a veteran. It's not like it's his third or fourth year in the league. He's been in the league for quite some time.
He's established himself.
He's an established player. So he can't have those outbursts, especially against a young guy. I see he wants to assert his dominance early on the younger kids, but it's a way to go about that. And he shouldn't have kept running his mouth. He should have known when to stop.
Oh, Keith. I think Keith, you deserve to get your headband taken away.
Yeah,
your attitude headband.
Yeah,
because
he's got to get removed from the headband squad for that one. Three-game suspension from the headband squad.
You're suspended, Keith. Like that's how bad it is. You can't have your headband for the rest of preseason because that's just not that's just unacceptable. I mean, this is the first game. That's what really blows my mind is that they all were like riled up over this game, and I have no idea why. I mean, yeah, you know, it is like, I mean, it's a game. They're all going to play competitive, like, no matter what the case is, but it's just, to me, the fact that it's a preseason game, like, it's not that serious, you know? Like, I don't know. I don't know what goes on behind players' minds.
But on the flip side, if they didn't get the technical foul, especially the two on Keith, I wouldn't have minded it. Like, I liked how they it's their first game in, I was about to say the Verizon Center. Wow. In Capital One Arena is their first game back.
At the MCI Center, you mean?
At the MCI Center, they're back. But it's their first game back. They got a lot of guys that they feel like this year is really a year for them to really make that push for at least the Eastern Conference championship game or championship series. So I like the energy, but it has to be smart, especially from veterans. You have to know how far you can go. Keith has been playing with the same referees his entire career.
Right.
So you know which referees will give you what. You know what you can get away with, and you know when to stop. And it's up also to the leaders of that team. Wall could have said something. Bill could have said something. As leaders on that team, you have to say, look, if Keith can't control himself, just like when Draymond goes off on tangents, Steph will step in. KD will step in. Clay will step in and say, look, you got to calm down. Don't want to get your second. We need you to win this game. So even though it's a preseason game, that leadership has to, you know, rear its head and say, look, Keith, we know your energy is up high right now, but just calm down. We got a whole game to play. Well, at least we'll get at least 4 or 5 more minutes left before we all take a break for the rest of the evening. Just let's finish this out as our unit without, you know, Dwight Howard.
I'm completely with you there. I think the energy was there. It was no question. I think if it was channeled in a better way, I think it would work out just fine.
Definitely.
So something that really bothered me is the third quarter of the game.
Uh-oh.
Because 11 straight points from the Knicks in 1.5 minutes.
Mm.
I mean, the Wizards did not score in that quarter until, I want to say, I don't even know. Maybe it was like halfway through the quarter. I can't even remember. But like, it was just like, I feel like what really cost the Wizards this game was just letting the Knicks like have that momentum during the third quarter. Even though they did catch up and we did go to overtime, obviously.
Yeah.
I feel like they didn't have control over the game, and it doesn't really bother me because it's preseason, and I feel like the Wizards are kind of always like this during preseason, but I don't know. What are your thoughts? Like, what, like, did anything specifically bother you about this game? Like, anybody in particular, besides Keith, of course, because we've already discussed him.
Two things that definitely bothered me, and like I said, even though it is preseason, the first thing was the lack of defense, not just by the Knicks, but by the Wizards as well.
Absolutely.
Starting in the first quarter, even when you have your guys out there, you're without Dwight Howard, but the rest of the guys that are on the floor are guys that have been here for, all have been here for 4+ years. So you should know how to play team defense. So the defense was never there from the beginning, and that's the thing that the Wizards have always struggled with, and it's a really big pet peeve I know of DC fans, and it has to be of the players and Scott Brooks. So one thing, the defense really bothered me, but my second thing, I did not like how Kelly Oubre performed yesterday. I just didn't like his awareness. I felt like he, because he's had kind of like a lot of expectations put on him as like, you know, he's the baby face. Like he's bringing that swag. He had the incident with KL. Like people look at Kelly Oubre to kind of step up and be more of an offensive scorer as well as have that swag and that defensive ability on that end of the floor. But I just didn't feel he was trying to force it too much on offense. I think he had one time where he got the ball at the three-point line. Austin Rivers was wide open to the right of him. Austin is clearly the better shooter from range, and he settled for a contested shot. And he did that like 3 or 4 times. It was just like he's in tunnel vision when he gets the ball. So I just think that he needed to calm down. But actually in the second half, he did calm down a bit, a lot more. The first half, he was a little antsy. Out of the halftime, he came back and he made some better judgments and some better decisions with the ball. But I think he needs to just calm down, get the tsunami down to maybe a tidal wave and get his bearings and then just go from there. But he really was just all over the place. Oh, but I did love Jordan McRae. McRae, I like his game. I would love to see him get some real minutes. I think he had, 14 points? I think he went 5 for 5 last night. Is that correct? He went 5 for 5. Yeah, so Jordan McRae did his thing, and he has the braids. You can't get mad at a guy that's getting buckets and has some nice braids. So Jordan McRae, he did his thing. He's going to get some attention as these next 4 games come up before the season starts.
All of that was just like everything I've been thinking in my head. Mm-hmm. Although, like you had mentioned, you know, Oubre did. I think he performed better in the second half, but I feel like there was a lot of times where he definitely could have just, like, thought about where, like, you know, just be more efficient with his offense.
Right.
And I think there's just so much pressure on him defensive-wise because he does have that long wingspan. You know, everybody's always like, you know, he's supposed to be our defender. He's supposed to do this. He's supposed to do that. And I wish that he would follow through on that because, you know, we do need defense very badly. The first quarter was probably the worst.
Absolutely.
And on defense, but also offense because they went 2 for 13 on three-pointers. I'm glad that they were able to take that many three-pointers. However, you know, you've just got to knock those down. Like, you can't just not make those that's way too many to not have under our belt and count towards, you know, scoring.
I think that was the issue with the Wizards last season as well. They were one of the top teams in three-pointers attempted, but not three-pointers made. So they got to just start knocking those shots down when they get them. But I did, like you said, I like the volume. They want to become a better shooting team, especially from distance. And then when you have a lot of missed shots, when you have a guy like Marshall Gortat who could get boards but is not athletic as a Dwight Howard, you replace him with D12 down low, that makes a lot of opportunities for second chance points, kickouts, and other opportunities to get that second and third shots from down. I said down bottom, from deep. So, yeah.
Yeah, so from this game, what can you think, like, what can you expect for Friday? Because they're playing the Heat Friday, and I don't know, I always kind of worry about the Heat because, I mean, none of these games count because it's preseason, so mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the game, but for some reason last season we always, not struggled, but we split games with them. I'm not mm-hmm. entirely sure. It seems like that was like forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
But in the games that I think I attended at Capital One Arena, they just got like blown out by the yeah. Heat. So what can you expect now that Dwayne Wade is back?
Yeah. The Heat they're a sneaky good team. Like, since LeBron is departed, when you think of the Heat, you don't really think that they're as skilled as they really are. Goran Dragic, Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters, those guys they're certified ballers. Now, they're not superstars, but they're really fundamentally sound players that if you're undisciplined, especially on the defensive end, you're not going to get much accomplished against that team. So they're sneaky, and they're coached by Eric Spoelstra, who's arguably one of the best coaches in the NBA right now and could go down the line as one of the best coaches of all time. So they're always going to be a disciplined team, and it's going to take a lot of focus to compete with a team of that caliber in terms of fundamentals. So this upcoming game, I think Keith is going to have his head with him. I believe that, you know, obviously Wall and Bill and Otto will get more minutes together, and especially because they didn't get to spend as much time on the floor with Keith because he was ejected. So I believe they'll try to get more of those guys, that big four, quote unquote, incorporated in some more extensive periods of time. And I also think Scott Brooks is going to try some different lineups. I think Jordan McRae is going to have to get some more looks earlier in the game, as well as Thomas Bryant. Even though Thomas Bryant only had 2 points, his attitude. He's always had an attitude, so I would like to see him inserted a little bit more in the game. But I just expect these players to be a little more calm. They're not going to be as on edge as they were on the first one. And I think they'll win. I actually did not think they'd beat the Knicks, and that might be a very unpopular opinion, but I just didn't think
they were going to beat the Knicks.
Yeah, I just didn't think they were going to do it.
It was one of those things, you know? Yeah. Like, when you're a Wizards fan, you kind of have, like, that sense.
You have a feel for it.
And my sense was, like, off, like, completely. I was like, you know what? They're gonna try, but I don't think anything is gonna come from this game. But I was impressed with some players that I didn't expect, and hopefully, you know, this game will give us a better insight of, you know, what Scott Brooks intends to do with the other play, because, you know, they can't keep all of them.
Yeah,
I was gonna ask you where Jody Meeks was, but then I remembered that he's
suspended.
He's suspended. Do you think that they'll keep him on the main roster then, or they will just? That might be a dumb question, but I'm not entirely there tonight.
Yeah, no, I think it's a tough call. Jody is such a streaky player, and when he's not suspended, he struggles with injuries. So I think it's a perfect opportunity to. If you do, let's say you do allow him to spend some time with the go-go and allow him to mentor the younger guys, because he's been in the league for a very long time. And then you could use the other slot to have some young guys that have been oppressive to get some more time that Jody would usually take. But in any event, that might be a little far-fetched, because Brooks tends to turn to more experience if anything, than just letting a young guy get his shot. So I think Jody will probably sneak into, you know, the main roster. But it would make sense for him to be kind of a liaison for those players that are just coming in the league or just trying to learn how things go, to get with Jody and just have like a mentor in terms of that transition.
I'm with you there. I was hoping that maybe one of the young guys would come in, because Jody is not going to be used game-wise. But, yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. Scott Brooks is not the type to take risk like that and kind mm-hmm. of put a young guy out on the floor. Especially a lot of those guys are just so young and they haven't had a lot of NBA game experience. Right. But I want to see Troy Brown play more. Like, I truly, I don't know, there's something about, like, his style of play. Like, he knows where to pass it, when to pass it, the ball. He knows, like, when is going to be a good opportunity for him to shoot. He's fast. Like, he literally is everything, and he's so young. And I just think that, like, playing with John Wall is really going to help his game a lot, and I'm hoping to see him this season. I don't know how much he's actually going to play, but I feel like yesterday when he came out on the court, I was like super happy
to see him. It's always great to see your pick out there. Yeah. Because, you know, the Wizards haven't really had picks recently, but it's good to see Troy Brown out there. He just looked comfortable. He looked a little antsy in the sense of where I think he had one opportunity where he could have gotten a steal that would have led to a fast break dunk in the clutch. But he was just a step behind. So his instincts are there. He's a very smart player, and he's very long. He's a playmaking guard in terms of someone that can score but also can run the one if he needs to run the one and can ball handle when he's at the two or the three. So I really like what he had to offer, and he's a good defender. He's a better defender than Kelly Oubre. And it's kind of like people want Kelly Oubre to be that defender, but that's what Troy Brown is kind of, he's more fundamentally sound in terms of the defense that people want out of KO. So it's going to be interesting. Troy Brown's a good player, very high IQ. He's going to have to work on that shot as well, but I would love to see him get some more time.
Before we end the podcast, your predictions for technical foul counts on Friday.
I'm going to go one technical foul.
Just one.
I'm going to give it to John. Typically when you bring up technical fouls, John is one of the ones that has a tech. He didn't get a tech last game.
He was good.
Yeah, he was a good boy. So he's gonna be playing against the Miami Heat. He was in Miami all summer long. So I think he'll get one just cause it's John.
Just you know, for the sake of getting one. It only scares me because Dwight Howard hasn't even started playing yet, and we're getting all these techs. And Keith, you better behave yourself or you're not getting your headband. That's all I got to say.
If you want your headband, you need to be on your best behavior.
You need to behave or else you're going in timeout and you're getting your headband taken away. We want to hear your thoughts on this game. We want to hear your thoughts on next game coming up Friday. And make sure you follow my new co-host on Twitter. It's @... Oh, God, here we go. TOQM_.
Easy.
That was so easy. See, once I get used to it, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And as always, you can follow me. Well, if you're not following me by now, I'm going to be really confused. But if you're not, in any case, you can follow me @ BeccaMVP on Twitter.
Becca just hit 5,000 followers on Twitter. And she's getting mentions from Tough Juice. Shout out Tough Juice, Karan Butler. Becca's she's really an MVP. She's a star. So y'all better follow her. On the road to 10,000. We need 10,000 followers for Becca MVP by the All-Star break.
By the All-Star break. Oh my gosh. 10,000 by the
All-Star break. Karan, go give her a shout out to something.
Come on, Karan, if you're listening. Karan told me that his favorite song right now was what it's called? Elevate by Drake. I have not listened to that song. I don't know why. I listen to some Drake. Like What's his song? Uh-oh. I really like his song "Can't Take a Joke" from his joke. New one. Yeah, of course I like Nonstop. I've listened to, of course, "Nice for What." Mm-hmm. I've listened to a lot of his songs, but
"In My Feelings." You like the "In My Feelings"? Have you done the challenge?
I have not done the challenge. I don't know if I'm actually going to.
If y'all want to see Becca MVP do the "In My Feelings" challenge, make sure you at her, at Locked On Wizards Podcast, at me and Becca, and say, look, the podcast was great. The cherry on top, we need a Becca MVP "In My Feelings" challenge. It's never too late. Never too late.
I won't be able to do it as good as John Wall, but I can try. And you know what? If I record myself and I make a total fool out of myself, I will definitely be not posting it. Maybe I'll send it to somebody's DM, whoever specifically wanted it. But it's a risky business.
If I get my hands on it, ladies and gentlemen, I got you guys. I got y'all.
You're going to expose me on Twitter. Got y'all. that'll be like the first time I've ever been exposed. So I'm kind of looking forward to it. But anyways, thank you all for listening. Send us your thoughts. You've been listening to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, and we will see you soon.